Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear precious people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And I'd like to thank, especially like me and Ram were talking about the break, and Sister Nancy. I'd like to thank, really, I'm really overjoyed about all the new people that are coming in and listening. I'm thinking if you get four or five letters in a month and four or five donations from people of all over the country you've never heard of, I'm thinking how many more are listening? Probably for every donation you get, you've probably got 1,000 people listening. Because I know I've listened to shows for years before I would donate. I do now. I do donate now because I know how it is to try to run a radio program always short of money. But thank you so much, people, for hanging on. Also, we had to let my big sister Nancy go. She wanted to go and let that because we're bringing in my little sister Monica, and she's going to take up. God, we got such a great crew here. None of us have to work ourselves to death. And we all bring a different face to the show, a different personality. But before we go to Sister Monica, Rand is going to go back and kind of cover this thing about this Catholic pro-life demonstrator. That's really big time. We didn't have time to talk about the guy who, what's his name, Lindell, who runs MyPillow, how the FBI came in and stole his phone, stole his computer, violating every law in the book. Mike Lindell. Yeah, violating every law in the book because we're, like Rand said, we live in a lawless nation. I mean, if people, this is the most lawless damn nation since Caligula. So Caligula would fit in right. He would probably be the president right now nowadays. But anyway, also, I've got to make one more comment. Sister Nancy talked about Timothy McVeigh being executed. Then I'm going to get out of y'all's way after this. The great Dr. Stanley Monteith, retired orthopedic surgeon, millionaire, genius. I was talking to him one day, and he said, rest his soul, he's been dead for years. I wish he had his archives preserved. He said there was a witness there at Timothy McVeigh's execution. And he called this witness, this dear lady called into a radio show, said they were talking about Timothy McVeigh. She said, well, I didn't know people kept breathing after they were dead. She said, she swore Timothy McVeigh, she was at the execution. She said you could see his breathing. There's respiration. He kept breathing after he was dead. And so this I don't remember the name of the DJ. Sister Nancy remembers the guy. I should have asked her for the name. But this DJ, this particular radio host DJ, would say, talk show host, he would play that recording every morning when he'd bring his show on. He would play that recording, that lady saying, well, I didn't know people kept breathing after they were dead. About Timothy McVeigh. That went on for about 10 days to 2 weeks, and guess what? Some vehicles pulled up in front of the radio disc jockey's house and blew him away. They shot him all to pieces with, like, automatic weapons. And I guess as a message to people to shut the hell up about Timothy McVeigh breathing after he was dead. But anyway, we'll go right back to brother Rand. He's going to expand a little bit on that Catholic pro-life demonstrator, and then after that, we're going to go straight to Sister Monica, and she's going to take up where Sister Nancy left off. So go ahead, Brother Rand.
Yeah, the guy we're talking about, his name is Mark Houch. He's a pro-life guy. He's a Catholic. He stands up for the pro rights, and last year, he was standing outside an abortion clinic in Pennsylvania with his 12-year-old son, and he was approached by this individual that started to harass his son, calling him all kind of names, degrading him and everything. And in defense of his son, from what I understand, he pushed this individual back. And you know, Eddie, I'm going to try to connect the dots here to the same thing that happened to the McMichaels, which all the listeners are familiar with. But the DA looked into this, the local authorities looked into this, and chose not to press any charges. The guy was defending himself. I mean, when you can't defend your 12-year-old son or daughter, what can you do? But But that wasn't good enough for the criminal Biden Justice Department. They had to step in. They charged him with a felony. The felony is obstruction of abortion access. And he's facing 11 years of imprisonment. But the thing about it, when he found out about this, when he was notified this, he offered, with his attorney's advice, he offered to turn himself in. But see, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough for this Garland individual, the head of the FBI or the Justice Department, and his bunch of thugs. That wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to go down, and like we've already talked about, they wanted to make a big scene. They wanted to intimidate. They wanted to terrorize their family. So what they did, they showed up at these people. Now, this is a father and a mother of seven children. And if you pull up the picture of Mark Houch and his family, it's a wonderful sight, beautiful family. But these FBI thugs, they show up at their property, 30 or so of them. This is a guy, this is a fellow that has already offered to turn himself in because he knows he's going to be charged with some bogus crime. But that's not the way they want it to go down. They show up at his property with 30 or so FBI agents, and they point rifles at him. They intimidate him and his wife, all in front of their seven children. And you know, y'all, really, all this guy, this fellow, all he's guilty of is being a pro-lifer and going against the killing of innocent babies. But they can arrest this guy. They're going to probably haul him off to prison, the same as they have with the McMichaels. And see, what I want to connect here is you got these trumped-up charges about the McMichaels. They get life, and that's not good enough all the way. They give them another federal sentence of life just for protecting their neighborhood, their property, and their cells. That's all they were doing. That's all these men were doing, was protecting their cells. But, you know, just a side note, if you want to see how the media can twist things, you can't go to a regular YouTube channel and find this, but if you Google the McMichaels, Travis McMichaels, if you'll Google that, it'll show you some of the, it'll lead you to some of the NBC reporting of what went on over there in Georgia, and it's sickening. The way they portray that, the way they portray this whole killing of this, actually a criminal, he's already in trouble, and the way they portray all that is just, lack of a better way to put it, it's more than ass backwards. But what I want to make a point of, and what I want everybody to understand here before we run out of time on this little segment, is that's what their intent is. They want to intimidate you. They want to scare you. They don't want you speaking out or standing up or taking a stand against the regular narrative. And it's reaching, you know, all the way from things like Mark Hoke and his family being terrorized by FBI thugs. They did the same thing, as I've already mentioned, to David Koresh with the Waco. They could have picked him up in town. They want to make a scene, and that's why, and I know I'm repeating myself, that's why I say they want Trump in handcuffs. And I think that it's a good possibility that you'll see that before the next presidential campaign. Maybe right or maybe wrong, I don't know. But they want to terrorize people. They don't want you speaking out. They don't want you standing up against them. And to be quite honest, it's just a matter of time before they come after us here on this radio show. I expect it any day. You know what? But let them come. Bring their asses on, you know? But I tell you one thing, and I hope they all hear this loud and clear. I don't care whoever hears it, because I stand firm on this. I don't intend to go to a state prison. I don't intend to go
on
any trumped up charges for maybe defending my property. So let them show up. You know, all I got to lose is to die. And you know what? When I die, I'm going to my Father in the kingdom of heaven. And when he returns, he's going to straighten out all of these evil bastards that are running this world.
That are running this world today.
And and that's what people got to do. And I don't claim to know it all. I certainly don't know it all. I'm just a plain old country boy. But I got sense enough to see what's going on around me. And the shit ain't right, y'all. And y'all know that. It ain't right. And if somebody don't stand up against it, we might as well kiss it all goodbye. And that's been said on this show here before. But you know what? A lot of the stuff that we say on this show is worth repeating, because we got to pound it into our people's heads.
We learn by repetition. With that, we got to go to our first break of the second hour, where we're going to hand the ball off to my little sister Monica. And I talked about her today to a fellow who just came back from Germany. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family. We said before the break, we're going to honor our promise. The one and only Sister Monica is coming on to right after this break. But I want to make a quick announcement. We talked about, Sister Nancy talked about, she alluded to the McMichaels, or Rand's, Brother Rand did. Next week, the 8th, we're supposed to have on this guy named John Friend. He writes for the America Free Press and the Barnes Review. He's supposed to be coming on with Lee Wilson. Lee Wilson is the private detective that has been with the McMichaels since day one, back in, I think, 2020. But they're going to come on. And among other things, they're going to cover the latest on McMichaels. I was blessed. I was able to talk to Miss Lee McMichaels, I think, last Monday. And she said that the guys, her son and her husband, they're at this place called Jacksonville, Georgia. And it's kind of like a processing center, an evaluation center. She said most prisoners are there for about 6 months, going through physical examinations, intense mental examinations to see, you know, how if they're nutty or if they're smart. And then they'll send them off to some other prison. But she says she doesn't think they'll be there that long. But anyway, just to let you know, that reminded me, I forgot to talk about it in the first segment, John Friend, the writer of the American Free Press and the Barnes Review, along with Lee Wilson, the private detective for the McMichaels, will be on next week. And the 15th, Michael Tubbs, Gene Andrews, and Rand Owen. We're going to open a large, detailed education. It's going to be, I think, a junior college level education on the beans, band-aids, boots, and bullets, and how to prepare for the upcoming cataclysm. And with that, people, we got Sister Monica Schaefer in. How you doing tonight, Sister Monica?
Really good, Eddie. Thanks so much. I was listening to the first hour and, of course, the first segment of this hour, and it's just absolutely fantastic listening, edge-of-the-seat type of show. I'm really, it was just great. Hearing that John Friend is coming next week, that is fantastic. I know him well. He is really, really good, and so I encourage everybody to tune in to that, and I'm sure that will be a very, very good show. Talk to the, I think you said, the lawyer for the McMichaels.
If he's a private detective, Lee Wilson, he's the detective. He was picked, you know, the defense team picked him out of all the detectives in the state of Georgia or their surrounding area. They picked him. He's an ace. That's what they're telling me. And he's doing it pro bono, of course. He's been out a lot of money out of his own pocket, as have the attorneys. And they'll never, ever recoup what they put into it money-wise. You know, I don't like to sound pessimistic, but, I mean, I think it will take an act of God to get these men out because, like Rand said, Sister Monica, they have been convicted on a state level of first-degree murder, life sentence plus, what, X years, 5-10 years. They're convicted of a hate crime. With that, one more thing. I'm trying to get an appointment with the United States Attorney here in Memphis to go demand to ask them, why the hell have they not charged this feral black hyena that killed, he's a serial rapist, and he killed this lady here in Memphis about a month ago, Miss Eliza. And I'm going to say, why aren't you charging him with a hate crime? With that, I'm going to shut up and go back to Sister.
I think Ran wanted to say something. Go ahead,
Oh,
Ran.
Yes. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Ran.
I didn't mean to overtalk you, Eddie, but I read where they found that he shot her in the back of the head.
Yes, he did, amongst other things. They beat her.
Hang the bastard. Hang.
Oh, you know what? They broke the bones in her face. Her legs were bruised. They beat the hell out of that woman, and then they tortured her. And I can guarantee they probably raped her after she was dead just because they hate white people so bad they like to humiliate white people and just desecrate white people all they can. So with that, Miss, didn't want to get off too much of that.
Animals, but where's the pushback?
Yeah, exactly. Every one of these examples.
Yeah, and I'm gonna shut up. But the same in the walk, and I'm going back a little bit. The Christmas parade in Waukesha. Just imagine for a moment that that's a white man running through a pretty most all black parade. Just imagine.
They just shot him there on the scene. He would have never made that scene.
White people would have never paid the retributions for that. Never. That would have been it. I mean, just think about it. But anyway,
that's so true.
Hey, one thing I want to throw out there to Miss Monica, and Monica, it's good to be on with you as always.
Vice versa. Thank you, Ran. Vice versa. Very much so.
Yes. And I hope you're well. But Miss Nancy, I want to know more about this Matthew Hale guy, fellow. I really don't like the word guy, and I keep saying it. I keep beating myself up against the head about
Miss Monica knows
guy.
All about it. Miss Monica's going to tell you all about that.
I want you to discuss this guy, if you could, please, ma'am.
Okay.
And the way that he was done, because this leads into what we've already been talking about, the way that he was done by the FBI.
So Matt Hale has been in jail since, I think, 2005, but actually Nancy Hitt would know that more precisely. But it's been quite a few years, and I would say at least the first dozen years, if not more, were in solitary confinement. And the sentence he was given was 40 years. 40 years. Now, why? Did he kill somebody? No, he did not kill somebody. Did he rape somebody? No, he did not rape somebody. Did he rob a bank? No, he didn't do any of those things. But he's very pro-white. So that's probably enough to tell you, why they hate him so much. He's extremely intelligent and articulate and does not shy away from being pro-white, okay? Now, somebody, the FBI, with their agents, they tried to set him up with an undercover agent who was pretending to be, in Matt Hale's organization. And they taped all these conversations, and they don't have any evidence against Matt Hale, but they kind of just charged him anyway. So they tried to set him up with instigating to have not himself do it, but to instigate a murder of a judge be done. But Matt never did that. Like, he always said no, like, to this guy who was trying to get him to instigate this murder. Matt did not do that. There is no evidence against Matt Hale. But they set him up with that, and they somehow twisted the evidence. We know how those corrupt courts do it. I mean, in this upside-down world, where literally everything is so inverted, good is bad, bad is good, black is white, peace is war. I mean, it's just everything is so inverted. I mean, any one example of what's going on in this world, you just can't believe it's happening, but you put it all together and it literally everything is inverted. So Matt Hale is in jail for a crime he did not do, could not have done. They tried to set him up. They really, tried hard but did not succeed to set him up as an instigator, like to commission somebody to murder a judge, there's another word for it. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, he didn't do those things. They didn't have the evidence against him, but they somehow fudged it to look like they did. And he is still in jail. And that's the basic story of it.
Sister Monica, is he the one they called? Was he the lawyer for the damned? Is he the one that represented all these people that have kind of like lost cause cases? For instance, like Randy Weaver would be. Is he the one that represented Randy Weaver?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure about that. Now, I don't want to say for sure, but I don't think so. Again, I'm not sure, but Randy Weaver, that was much more recent, though, was it? Was it not? When did Randy Weaver, his wife, get killed?
Oh, God, that was back in the 80s, wasn't it, Rand?
That long ago? Oh, okay. No, Matt Hale is too young. If that's the case, if it was.
Okay,
that case.
I've got him confused with an attorney. I've got him confused with somebody else. He was they call him the lawyer for the damned, and he was. Did you say he was accused of trying to kill his wife?
No, Matt Hale was accused of trying to set up the murder of a judge.
Okay. I've got him mixed up with somebody else in it. It's not unusual for me to be mixed up. Well, people, I hear the music. We've got to go to our another break, and we come right back. We're going to continue on me being confused with our ace crew straightening me out. We'll be right back, folks.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. South Carolina state officials, including Governor Henry McMaster, held a press conference Saturday to give an update on the state's transition from response to recovery following Hurricane Ian's impact on Friday. Despite the heavy rain, high winds, and life-threatening storm surge on the coast, there have been no storm-related deaths reported, and only 35,000 of the original 240,000 power outages remain. Kim Stenson from the South Carolina Emergency Management Division says most of the damages were centered on the coastline.
Well, most of the state suffered some impacts from Hurricane Ian. The hardest hit areas were along the coast from Charleston up to Horry County.
Stenson added only a handful of counties have reported damages so far.
At least three counties with infrastructure damage, eight counties reporting residential damage, and five counties reporting some level of business damage.
While Florida's Gulf Coast cities felt the brunt of Hurricane Ian, the state's central cities were not spared. Rising rivers caused serious damage and calls for help. In Orlando, FEMA assistance is needed. Congresswoman Val Demings, chair of the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Emergency Preparedness, had just returned from Puerto Rico to assess the damage of Fiona when Ian hit her home state. She said this kind of powerful storm is exactly what her committee plans for, saying FEMA and the officials of the central cities did their job.
And while we wish we did not have to endure or weather the storms, if you will, one thing I can say about the leaders who stand with us today is that they come through time and time again.
Officials in Florida now say at least 34 people are now dead as a result of the storm that made landfall there Wednesday. While the Fort Myers area bore the worst of Hurricane Ian's wrath, the heavy rain continues to cause flooding issues along flatlands, including near Tampa. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com. Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we are at the bottom of the second hour. We've got about another half hour, almost another half hour to go. More time sure flies. We're going to go right back to my little sister, Monica Schaefer. Man, what a jewel. But anyway, Miss Monica, we're going to come on back on and take up where you left off.
Okay, thanks. So, Matt Hale, if people want to actually learn a little bit more, they can go to the website freematthale.org. Also, I have his address, like to write letters to him, on my website, the freespeechmonica.com website, under the political prisoners. Because I noticed that some of the articles about Matt Hale, if they're a little bit older, then they have the old address. He was moved about 2 years ago to a different prison. So just to encourage people to write letters, they're very, very important for a prisoner to receive letters. I know that from firsthand experience, how important that is. And as Nancy was saying, she called back in on the break there just to remind us, and I should, of course, know this, and I do know this, and I neglected to mention it, but so Matt Hale is, as well as a trained lawyer, but who was never given the license to practice because of his views, so he never did actually earn a living as a lawyer, but he had got the education to be a lawyer. But he also is a classical violinist, and in all these years they have never let him have a violin in jail. Why not? I do not understand. You know, they say that the penitentiary system is supposed to rehabilitate people, if, even if they have done a crime. He has done no crime, but let's just put that aside for a moment. Even if he had have done a crime, isn't it supposed to be a rehabilitative place? So why not give somebody the instrument, a musical instrument that they play? Wouldn't that be one of the best ways of, you know, restoring their health if indeed they they had done a crime? Now, of course, he's an innocent man. So I think Ran had some more information that, can you just jump in, Ran, to say what you wanted to tell us about Matt Hale?
Well, yeah, for one thing, what you just said, Monica, the first thing that pops in my mind, the words that you just come out of your mouth, is cruelty.
Yes.
And torture.
Yes.
And why? Why is that done to him?
Well, because for the powers that, of course, we know, the powers that be, he's a very dangerous man, because he speaks truth and he stands up for white people and he's racially aware, like we all should be, but most of us, we've had that drummed out of our heads through the indoctrination system called school, where we're all equal and the same and there's no differences between us, you see? In a nutshell, that's the answer.
Yeah, and as you said, he's very smart. He has a good way of presenting himself, and he's a threat to them. That's the main thing. He's a threat to them, so they had to eliminate him. But you know what this tells me? This tells me that this is 2005. They've been putting people like this, these, let's call them unlike-minded people, as far as the left's concerned. They've been putting them out of the way for quite a while.
Randy, I got to interject here just a second. You're right. And listen, I would like to say, you know, we've had people on here, for instance, Mac Michaels a lot. But listen, people, there are hundreds, I'm talking about hundreds of white people out there that have been in prison just because of their political beliefs, have been murdered. And I'm going to give you a great website to go to. We used to have a fellow that come on. His name was Rudy Davis. And he has all he does when he's not working his full-time job, he spends every waking minute trying to help free some of these prisoners and to get the word out. And if you will, you can get in touch with me and I'll give you his website. But he has an organization called, listen to this, people, it's called yearofjubilee.com. And it's spelled, Jubilee is spelled J-U-B-I-L-E. That's yearofjubilee.com. He has all these, he has a list of many, many political prisoners. Rudy used to come on our program. Why he will not come on anymore, I don't know. I think maybe he got a little scared because we're a little too hot. But I don't know why he would be that afraid, because one of his on his web pages, one of his email addresses is like, I hate the FBI.com. I mean, that's about as high as you get. But anyway, once again, you go to yearofjubilee.com, and he talks about the Edgar Steele and all the people we've been talking about. There are just many of them. Schaefer Cox. I've got this card here. He talks about Mike and Pat Parsons, Charles, ex-Marine, Charles Dyer. A fella here, his name was here somewhere. He was not too far from Memphis. Yuri Call. Just many of them, but if you want to find out more about that in depth, go to that. You can send me an email, and I can give you the Rudy Davis's phone number. Anyway, back to you, Sister Monica.
Okay, Brand, did you? I think there was something about the defense, and I think we brought up Edgar Steele's name, but I'm not sure if you wanted to talk about that or should we?
Well, I'd just like to make one comment, if I could, about what Eddie just was talking about and these arrests and invasions and all. One thing that we're seeing, from what I understand, y'all probably know more about it than I do, but sometime during Obama, there was some stuff passed about quotas. In other words, you can't arrest but so many blacks versus so many whites.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There's a type of quota out there, and there's probably a whole show for that. But I just recently read a little something about it.
It's called equity.
Maybe not. I'm sorry.
He called it. Obama called it equity. And when they talked about, well, the blacks are committing so much more crime. He said, and here's what he said. Obama said, "Boys, you don't understand. We're not talking about crime, the rate of crime. That doesn't enter the equation. We're talking about equity. We want for every black arrested, we have to have an equal number of whites. Damn the crime. They don't matter if they committed crime or not. But anyway, that's what you're talking about, the equity program. And he took over. They went in and they took over by blackmail, by whatever other means, by bribing state troopers' offices, you know, highway patrol, sheriffs, different county sheriffs. Almost every one of these law enforcement agencies in the United States are under this equity program. So anyway, back to you, Rand.
No, and mayors too. But just think about that. Think about living under a rule of law that is that thinks like that.
You know, I don't want to interrupt.
No, you
carry
go
on.
Ahead, go ahead, Ma.
Well, this is reminding me of when we were in school and we're learning about the proportion of the different people in jails. And in Canada, and this is actually applicable to something that was happening yesterday and all weekend, basically, that I wanted to tell you about. But our equivalent to your Black Lives Matter, the BLM, burn, loot, and murder is what that stands for. But anyway, our equivalent here in terms of, you know, guilt, white guilt, is the Native stuff. And in fact, I only just found out the day before yesterday that yesterday was to be a day of mourning, and it's called the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation here in Canada. But why I'm bringing this up in relation to what you said is because in school we were learning about how, there was, you know, proportionately such a higher number of Native people in jail, and that is wrong. We obviously are very, very prejudiced against Native people, because why are there more Native people in jail? And then if we decide, well, no, it's not because of prejudice, and maybe they did more crime, well, that's our fault too, don't you know, because we kind of, you know, oppressed them and did bad things to them, and so that's why they're in jail more. And I think that you have the same kind of a narrative going on in your schools, probably, with relation to why are so many more blacks in jail than whites. It cannot possibly have anything to do with that they might actually be doing more crime, can it? It must be our fault that we have put them in a position that they can't help it, or that we're just discriminating against them when they're being prosecuted, and so that's why they end up in jail more. I mean, the whole thing, and you know, I have to say that when I was in school learning those things, I kind of fell for it, because, you know, it was very, what is it, cultural Marxist education, where, you know, and we're learning all about all these different things that have happened in our history, which now we find out a lot of the things they told us about weren't true, but we kind of felt guilty about a lot of things. And this was the outcome now, is that there were more Native people in jail than should be, according to their population, the poor. So I think that's what's going on in the States too. And so they wanted to rectify that by putting more white people in jail and less black people in jail, I guess. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
What they really want, they want all the white people in jail and then in the graveyard. That's their end goal.
Yes.
Their end goal is, the end game is to all white people to be dead. People, we've got to go to our last break of this last hour. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Hey, dear Blood River Radio family. This is the last friggin' segment, man. I can't believe it. Sister Monica said that she thinks it might be a good idea if we go to 3 at 3rd hour. It looks like we're going to have to because we have people sending money just earmarked just for the 3rd hour. So, what we're going to try to do, we're going to try to probably, it won't be this year, probably the common sense thing to do, probably go the first week to start off the new year with our 3rd hour, God willing. People are sending in money for it, you know, and I think we could definitely use it. At times, you know, we get kind of overworked, but we have a hell of a staff now. We have plenty of staff member people own that could carry the ball. As a matter of fact, God willing, I will not be here November the 6th. That'll be November 5th. It'll be Ran and hopefully Miss Monica and Sister Nancy's. She always says she doesn't want to do it, but she always does a great job. I'm hoping they will take the show for me November the 5th because November the 6th was a Sunday. I'll be running the New York City Marathon, God willing. I've already paid the money to St. Jude. It costs $3,500 to run that. If you run as a St. Jude hero, you give St. Jude Children's Research Hospital $3,500, and you're in like Flynn. Well, anyway, people, we got to go right back to Sister Monica. God bless you, dear sister. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I miss talking to you. It seems like you've been gone for a long time. But anyway, come on back to this microphone, little sister, and take up where you left off.
Okay. Well, I had just begun talking about this National Day of Truth and Reconciliation in Canada, and this is sounding very much like the South African thing, isn't it? And that doesn't bode very well, does it? Everything these days here is about the Native people, the First Nations people, whatever you want to call them. They kind of keep changing what they want to be called to. I think many of them just call themselves Indians, but we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to call them that. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Now, I have always been very sympathetic to their condition and their plight. I grew up in a family where, you know, my parents, they lived up in the north before I was born with the Eskimos, and we were always, you know, we had a lot of Native people in our home and whatnot. So I grew up in kind of a unique situation that I was quite sensitive to their plight. But what I have found out is that they lie to us about a lot of the things that they're, I mean, this is the new Holocaust now. They're trying to tell us that we Holocausted the Indians here and we put them all in mass graves, murdered them on purpose, and then there's these mass graves. But guess what? When they haven't found a single one of these mass graves. No, this was just based on some kind of a resonance machine. This story broke a couple of years ago, right? But it keeps surfacing, and they never retract their story, even though they haven't got a single shred of evidence that any of it is true. It just kind of reminds me of the story about World War II and that Jewish Holocaust, that they don't have a shred of evidence. They only just tell us that it's the most documented and has the most evidence of any event in history, but they never present the evidence. So this is what we're dealing with in Canada now. this National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. Yesterday was a holiday, or the Native people said it's not a holiday, it's a day of mourning. Yeah, so in the context, you know, I know that the theme today was taxpayer dollars paying for basically for criminal activity or you know, bad things happening against white people, and this would be falling right into that category. I just wanted to bring that into the picture here, sort of what's going on up north here. Yeah.
Well, you know, that kind of goes along, Miss Sister Monica, that kind of goes along here. I mean, not only here in the city of Memphis and Shelby County, every street, every statue, every other building, I mean, anywhere there's any type of historical a marker, be it a statue, streets are named, every single one of them, streets, boulevards, statues, bridges, even creeks, they're all named after blacks and or Jews, every stinking one of them. I can't think, the only thing we have here that's named after white people would be Danny Thomas Boulevard, because he came here in 1962, and he's the one that founded, with all his friends, that founded St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And just by the way, someone write those, this pen went crazy. Let's see, ALSAC. I do all my running. I've talked to y'all about, this ties in with what we're talking about. All my running I do is a St. Jude hero. Every marathon I've ever run, I've run as a St. Jude hero. You pledge a certain amount of money to run Nashville, Memphis, New York, the Marine Corps. And at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, it's huge. It's gigantic. They've really done great work since 1962. They're curing about 80% of the cancer now. It used to be like it was fatal. But they called that. It's a charity park that I work out of. It's called ALSAC. And get this, ain't nary a Jew's name in their people. That's one reason I'm really proud. It's called the ALSAC is the initials for the American, Lebanese, Syrian, Arabic charities. And I don't think no Jew is going to be named after a Syrian, a Lebanese, or an Arab. You know, Danny Thomas was a Catholic, but originally from Lebanon. He always claimed to be Lebanese, you know. So I'll just threw that out there as a moniker. But every damn thing else, and see, we have Elvis Presley Boulevard, which is in Whitehaven, and you have to, I mean, you risk your life. Whitehaven is incredibly violent now. One of the most violent places in the tri-state area. But that's about it. Everything else is named after some Jew or some darkie. You know, of
course,
they're doing
a lot of name changing here too. It's kind of a similar pattern. Yeah. You know, Nancy brought up something in the first hour which I'd like to follow up on, and because it also fits in with your solutions, you know, your desire for solutions. And she was talking about doxing, but in reverse, because, you know, and that fits in with Alexander Solzhenitsyn thing that he said, that if every one of those, what do they call them, the Cheka, or
the blue caps,
they came night by night, and if they had worried that they might not make it home, things could have gone very differently. But these officials, these government officials, these puppets, many of them are white Gentiles. They're people, you know, they're our people, but they have become traitors either knowingly or unknowingly. Many of them are just completely indoctrinated, so then they are unknowingly doing the bidding of the enemy. But if they were to be confronted by us, every chance that we get, engage the system. That's actually an expression that comes from my brother Alfred. He just says, engage the system. Do not fear engaging the system. And then say, you know, we have your names. We know your names. Like, whatever the officials are that they're enforcing some completely illegitimate laws, whatever they are, we have to put a bit of fear into them. Say, look, we've got your names. We know where you live. We know who you are. This is when this turns, and it's going to turn, I mean, you know, let's bring the comparison to the 100-year-old people. People who are 100 years old now are getting persecuted and prosecuted and thrown in jail in Germany just for having pushed a pencil in one of the camps, just for having been there when as an 18-year-old or something, because, oh, they participated in this, you know, genocide of the Jewish people, which didn't happen. And so they are being persecuted now. Now, we have to tell people, I mean, those are wrongful persecutions, but we have to tell people, look, you can't just go on the excuse that you're just following orders. So this doxing thing in reverse, I think it's a very good idea. Engage the system. And I wanted to say one more thing. The genocide they are trying to carry out now of us, like through this COVID absolute insane program, this is looking very different than what the Bolsheviks did in Russia. So, you know, we talk a lot and I've talked a lot about it, but I've come to think and come to realize that it's looking different. It's not, they don't repeat the same methodology. They repeat their playbook in terms of what their goal is, like killing a lot of people, genociding a lot of people, but they have different methods and different times. They're not probably going to do it the way the Bolsheviks did it, where they rounded up people and just shot them or tortured them or threw them in the gulag and just, you know, murdered them that way. But they are doing it right now. They've got the jab into a lot of people. They're engineering food shortages, and they are weather warfare, which is going on right now. I mean, the eastern seaboard of Canada and the United States, Florida, and then the maritime provinces of Canada, they are feeling it. And this is weather engineering. So they are bringing about chaos and collapse in different methods. And so we need to really be mindful of that it's looking different. It's not like the daily roundup or the nightly roundup of people from their homes. And I don't think it's going to be that way. They are doing it differently. So this might be something for us to keep in mind when we're thinking about how to resist and how to survive and how to, you know, come through to the other side of this collapse that is coming about and survive and thrive. So anyway, kind of thrown a lot in there in a couple of minutes, but just some thoughts that we could maybe expand on in future.
I would like to second what you said. You made a great, great statement there about your brother, Alfred, telling these guards, hey, we've got your names. I've been saying that for some time. We need to let these clowns know. We need the right people like George Soros, Bill Gates, Biden. We need to write these people. We need to make a list and write these people and let them know.
Let me just interrupt there. But we need to go at the in people that are way lower than them. Those guys are in the clouds. I don't think we can have a chance, any chance of reaching them. And those are not the important ones. It's the people at the mid level of the day-to-day life of they are the enforcers. They make the decisions at the local levels. These are the people, I think, that we have to say. When they are trying to tell us we have to do this or that or the other thing, which is wrong, we have to tell them no. And guess what? I know where you live. We are taking your
yes.
name down. You see, so it's not those people at the top. It's the people in the middle, I think.
Well, we need to let them know that this world is going to come crashing down. And when we, the people, get our own sovereign nation, we will convene a citizens' people's court, so to speak. They love, these communists
yes.
love the term people. We're going to have a court, and we're going to issue subpoenas, and we're going to come get your sorry ass, and we're going to drag you into court, and you're going to pay for these crimes you've committed pending all these years. You're not going to get away. People, that's the end of the hour. Can't believe that. But we will do it in a lawful way. Thank you so much, Sister Monica, for coming on. I've missed you so much here lately. Thank you, Rand. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Cam, for running the board. And thank all of our wonderful, precious donors. And especially thank you all the new ones coming in. People, I'll see you next week, October the 8th, same time, same place. We'll have John Friend and Lee Wilson on. John Friend, author for American Free Press, Barnes Review. Lee Wilson, private detective for the Mac Michaels from day one. Good night, everybody.